Welcome to another episode of Biased Broadway. This month I'm going to be talking to you about Pygmalion. And you may be saying, wait a second, I don't remember there being any shows on Broadway named Pygmalion right now. And you are right, there are no shows on Broadway named Pygmalion. Pygmalion is a play by George Bernard Shaw from 1918. However, that play has inspired many other shows, musicals, movies, TV, and two of those are currently on Broadway right now, one being My Fair Lady and the other Pretty Woman. So I'm going to talk to you about My Fair Lady and Pretty Woman and a little bit of the background of Pygmalion itself so you can understand why I keep calling them Pygmalion shows. So let's dive on in. So Pygmalion is a story based on a Greek myth, actually. I don't really know anything about the initial Greek myth. That's just something I happened to find out while I was doing some Wikipedia searching. But it's written by George Bernard Shaw, and it was 1913, not 1918, when it was first staged to the public as a play. My apologies. The premise of Pygmalion is that there is this man named Professor Higgins. There's a woman named Eliza Doolittle, and they have a chance encounter where Eliza is a flower girl selling flowers in the street to make a little bit of money, and Professor Higgins is a linguist, and he ends up placing a bet with his friend saying, I bet you that I can convince people that this Cockney woman is a high society woman. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to teach her proper English, and everyone's going to think that she's a proper society lady. And so he takes Eliza under his wing and teaches her English, and the story evolves from there. So there's a lot of deviation in the telling of these stories based on what particular show, movie, etc. we're talking about. So My Fair Lady follows the plot of Pygmalion pretty spot on, but they've added music. So My Fair Lady turns Pygmalion into a musical. And that show does still have Eliza as a flower girl. Henry Higgins is still a linguist, and he still makes this bet and takes her under his wing. Something that I did find interesting when the new production of My Fair Lady was first opening, I believe it was last year, where there were some people who were saying, is this really what we need right now? A show about a man basically like deciding that he's going to make this woman's life better and kind of like coming in as like the male savior for her. And the thing that I find interesting about those critiques is that they clearly came from people who had not seen the current production of My Fair Lady. Because I do feel like the direction of it is so genius and so spot on, and the director definitely took care to make sure that you know Eliza is fully in charge of her own decisions. She has her own agency, and she is the one that's pulling the strings. Henry Higgins certainly thinks that he's the one pulling the strings and making the decisions, and he certainly thinks that everything that Eliza accomplishes is because of him. But he's the one that thinks that. At no point is the audience led to believe that he's right in that theory. He comes off as a pompous ass when he says it, and it doesn't come off as something that's truthful or believable. You're seeing everything through Eliza's perspective, if that makes sense. So you see Eliza coming in and saying, like, I want to do this. And he takes her on as a bet, but she's the one that comes to him and says, I want to do this. And you see her making her own choices, and you see her indignation every time he tries to take credit for something that she's accomplished. And so I think that it does a really good job of showing you kind of some lessons that some people still need to learn, where, you know, men are going to occasionally think that they are the people that are in charge and they are the ones that get the credit for all of the accomplishments of the women around them. However, they're in the wrong and they're not the ones who are really making the decisions. You get to see Eliza really making the decisions, and I appreciated that, and I found that really interesting. A quick note about this current My Fair Lady production, it is closing July 7th. So if you do want to see it, you really have to hustle out and see it this month. It's currently starring Laura Benanti, and she is an incredible soprano. So she was in She Loves Me on Broadway a couple of years ago, starring opposite Zachary Levy, and she just has a beautiful, beautiful voice, and she's a really, really incredible actress. She's one of the best talents out there right now, I truly think. So hurry and see it before July 7th, and you will get to see her in the part as well. Another thing about My Fair Lady, this current production, it is at Lincoln Center Theater's Vivian Beaumont Theater, and they have a truly stunning masterpiece of a set. It's a gigantic, replica's not the right word. It's a gigantic set of Henry Higgins' apartment that is on a turntable, and you really move throughout the entire house. It almost feels like they built an entire house on the stage, and you're just kind of peeking into these people's real home. The costumes are also impeccable, which I think in a period piece can really set something apart. The costumes can either make it or break it at that point. They are impeccable, they're beautiful, and they really have a beautiful distinction between her flower girl costuming and the people that she lives with during that period of her life versus the high society costuming and the people that she interacts with during that part of her life. It's also got some really recognizable fun songs, like I'm Getting Married in the Morning, I Could Have Danced All Night. There's so many more, but point is, there's a lot of really recognizable songs in My Fair Lady that are classics, and I'm sure that you know, even if you didn't realize that they were from this show. And I highly recommend that you go run out and see it before July 7th, since it is closing soon. And it is a really, really fun show, and it is a really nice theater. It's really nice because it's kind of set away from the rest of the Times Square Broadway crowd. So you're up on 66th, and it's just a little further away from the hustle and bustle, and it's like quiet and nice up there. So yeah, it's right next to the Metropolitan Opera. It's just a nice neighborhood and like a different change of pace from going to a Broadway show and normally being in that Times Square area. So definitely go check it out before July 7th. Then to cross over to Pretty Woman for a minute. So Pretty Woman is currently a musical on Broadway, and it is based on the movie of the same name. It's starring Samantha Barks and Andy Carl, who are both also incredible. Andy Carl, honestly, he's probably the hardest working actor on Broadway, and I don't say that lightly because I think every actor on Broadway is incredibly talented and incredibly hardworking, but he either broke his leg or pulled his ACL. He did something truly terrible to his leg during previews of Groundhog's Day, the musical, and he still managed to somehow limp his way through opening day with his leg in a cast. And honestly, he went out and he kicked his own ass trying to get out there to perform the show for everybody so that they didn't have to delay opening. And I really appreciate that. And I think that's incredible that he went out there and worked his butt off when he was injured. And the show must go on. And, you know, he really took that seriously. And he's got an insane voice. And another really fun fact about Pretty Woman is that he actually ended up with that part because someone else dropped out at the last minute due to family obligations while they were off-Broadway, out-of-town tryouts. And Andy's wife, Orfe, is in the cast and has been in the cast since then. And so he had been kind of hanging around, you know, supporting his wife. And so he knew the part and was able to jump in. And so he is now in the Richard Gere character's part on Broadway. And something that's interesting, because I did mention that it is a Pygmalion play, but it does take a totally different direction than My Fair Lady does. So while My Fair Lady focuses more on the plot of Pygmalion with the linguistics and trying to focus on really growing her from one type of person to another type of person, the Pretty Woman show and movie focuses more on the relationship between the two people and growing that relationship rather than growing her from one type of person to another type of person, if that makes sense. It's less about her journey as a person and more about their journey in their relationship. So in Pretty Woman, she does start as a prostitute and ends up romancing the man who is her suitor, and she helps him out, and they have this mutual loving relationship, and it's really fun to see that unfold. I don't feel like I'm spoiling any of this for anyone, because I do feel like Pretty Woman is something that is kind of ubiquitously just known. So I'm sorry if anyone feels that I'm spoiling the plot for you by telling you that they develop a romantic relationship. I feel like that's pretty obvious from just popular culture commenting on it. I don't remember the last time that I saw the movie Pretty Woman. I know I saw it at least once. I remember really enjoying it. I'd like to see it again, but I haven't seen it in a long time, so I wouldn't be able to say whether the musical does a really good job of, like, following the story exactly. However, I was there with my mom, who does love the movie and watches it, like, anytime it's on TV, and she loved the musical, loved, loved, loved it, and she was really excited, and at intermission and then after the show as well, she was saying, oh, my favorite line was in there, and like this was in there. So I do think, based on her reaction, that they did a really good job of translating movie to stage, in that they kept all the things that you want and are hoping for while elevating it with the musical numbers and keeping it really fun and fresh and interesting for the stage. I thought all of the musical numbers were really fun showstoppers. It was one of those shows that I've described as a cotton candy show, where I just felt happy the whole time I was watching it. And it just was a really, really fun night of theater and just a really, really good time. So if you're looking for something to go to where you're just going to go in excited to see it and you're going to leave feeling excited, that's a great show to go to. I do feel like they did a really good job of taking the iconic costumes from the movie that you remember, and that I remember, even having only seen it, you know, the last time I saw it was probably at least 15 years ago. That can't be right. Could I have been 16 when I was watching Pretty Woman? That could be right. I don't know. But anyway, I think they could do a good job of taking these costumes that you remember from the movie and are kind of iconically remembered from the movie and translating them to the stage, not completely remaking the exact costume, but taking that and just making it a little bit bigger, a little bit more stage appropriate, and really still keeping that iconic moment that you're expecting from the costume reveals. So to sum it up, I think that both shows are really fun. They are both based on the same source material, but I do feel like each one is very different from the other. I wouldn't say that you should pick one over the other. I actually ended up seeing both shows in the same weekend. That was not my initial plan. I had bought tickets to see Pretty Woman with my mother as a Christmas present, and then I heard that Norbert Leo Butz was leaving the cast of My Fair Lady, and I love him, and I feel like I must have talked about him before, but if I haven't, he's a really incredible performer. He was in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. He was in the original cast of Wicked. He has been in an incredible number of shows. He was in Catch Me If You Can, which was so short-lived and deserved more. He was in Big Fish, which also was short-lived, but he was playing Eliza's father, Mr. Doolittle, and he gets some of the most fun songs in the show, so I was really happy that I got to catch him before he left. I'm sure that whoever is currently in the role is also incredible. I just can't speak to it because I did not see that particular performer. But long story short, I did end up seeing them both in the same weekend because I found out he was leaving that weekend. So I saw Pretty Woman on Saturday, My Fair Lady on Sunday, and at no point during My Fair Lady was I like, oh man, I feel like I just saw this show yesterday. They're very different shows, but they are both based on that original Pygmalion play, and I do think that they're both really great and fun experiences on Broadway. They're both really enjoyable, and I do think that they're both something that would be really fun to go out and see. I'm going to mention it one last time. My Fair Lady is closing July 7th, so do hurry to see that one. Pretty Woman does not have a closing date as of yet, so you have more time to go out and see that at your leisure. I think it's a great night out, like mother-daughter night or a night with friends. I do think that My Fair Lady would be appropriate for anyone. I think it would be more interesting to people who are slightly older, I would say high school age or above, just because it might just be not super fun for young kids, but there's nothing inappropriate in it. Pretty Woman, on the other hand, because it is based on a plot that involves someone who is a prostitute and there is sexual nature in the show, I would say it skews a little older, maybe, you know, more adult. I wouldn't necessarily bring a young child to it or even a teenager to it, just because it would be kind of, not that that's necessarily inappropriate, but I just think it would be kind of like an awkward situation to be sitting there with your teenager watching a sex scene on stage. So I would recommend that for a more adult audience, but you know, it's not like terribly inappropriate. If you've seen the movie, you kind of know what to expect in the content of that show. So that's it for me. I hope that you enjoyed this Pygmalion review, and I will see you all next month. In the meantime, stay biased.